Standing for prayer, please.
Dear Lord, we all thank you for allowing us to come back here and ask you to for all the blessings you gave us last week. Dear Lord, we come back to you and we need to be able to build our lives in which you have given for us to live next week. If we remain on the prayer list, I want you to be talking about it for months. We hope to lay you in and out of the situation without the relief. But a matter of fact, this evening is for the Lord that will be your people. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's all stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from
someone this morning, if you would, please. You know, I wanted to My mother and daddy taught me something along with Captain Kangaroo. I take you back. Captain Kangaroo said, always say please and thank you. I need to say thank you to somebody. And Brenda, boy, do we miss you when you're not here. How many years, Brenda, you've been playing that organ over there?
65.
Oh, my goodness. 65 years she's been on that organ over there. So I need to say thank you, and a great big thank you for all of that. Certainly you're missed because you're not here. All right, I have some announcements I want to share with you. First, the Constitution Committee will be meeting directly after the worship today at 11. But Brother Kenny wants to meet you down here front. So before you go that way, come right here. It'll be a short meeting, right, Brother Kenny? So down front, Constitution Committee, okay? I want to also share with you something that I think there's a need to know as a church. Betty Davis asked us as a church to supply and erect a ramp at her house so she could go in and out of there since she is now not able to get in and out with just a walking cane. So we did. The ramp has been erected and has been built at Betty Davis' home. The church did sponsor it. It was sponsored through the Benevolence Fund. So I want you to know that the money that we used, the total value of the ramp was $3,200. The money was used out of the Benevolence Fund. It's not to be confused with any working capital. It was not coming out of anything. A working capital of the church. No budgetary items were involved. It came out of the Benevolence Fund, and the deacons did make a decision to do that. Now, and I'm saying that some of you have already donated to this, and if you desire and you want to help in some way, you can make a check out to the Benevolence Fund. No, excuse me, to Barbie's Grove, tag it Benevolence Fund, Betty Davis, and it'll be handled that way. So make sure, if you want to do that, that's up to you. Some of you had expressed desire to do that, so I wanted to be sure I shared that with you. Okay, back to the announcements on your, in your bulletin. Homecoming will be September the 7th, and notice it said the picnic basket, and yes, the Towers will be here for that morning, and we'll be here and enjoying the worship with you all, and I will be part of getting to go home again and sing as opposed to being away on these Sunday mornings, so it'd be good to be here. New Youth Sunday School class. That's wonderful. I walk around and I see that new class going on. That's such a good thing. So it's a new youth Sunday school class. Brother Kenny, you want to have anything? Anybody want to say? McCord, anyone about the class? Anything? Okay. Okay, it's going. That's a good thing. And I see the members of the class there, so it's a wonderful thing. So you youth, you have your class now. That's wonderful. Train them up. It's still going. Stanley Montgomery Association. Read over that. Are there any announcements I've overlooked? All right. With that being said, there are no evening services tonight, so be sure you're aware of that. So, okay, now back for Wednesday night. Let's remember our Wednesday night services. Pastor Ed's still in the book of Proverbs, right? And we're working our way through the book of Proverbs on specific topics. And so I think that will be good for us. Okay, so remember that. Come Wednesday night. Be part of Wednesday night service. Yes, Bobby.
Well, could you clarify for everybody, get a bulletin that's got September 7th homecoming.
Yeah, Bobby, that's an error. September 7th is the date. Kathy will correct it next bulletin. We spoke already, but thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, don't go by the 20th, folks. If you do, you're going to miss homecoming. So don't do it. It's September the 7th. Okay. All right. All right. Now, if there's no other announcements, thank you, Brother Bobby. If there's no other announcements, let's go to prayer time at this time. I have a couple, let's remember Brother Jeff Keplinger's family as he's lost his mother. And all of you know that, you've got your message, but I know that. But keep the family in your prayers. The plans are not complete, but we definitely need the prayer. So, Brother, it's Jeff. Jeff.
David.
Yeah.
I just wanted everybody to know, thank you for your prayers. They were felt. And I wanted y'all to know that Mom taught a lot of this church and the people in it. She asked about y'all just about every time I spoke to her.
Yeah.
So, know that if nobody else did, she cared about you.
Amen.
And thank y'all, because I know y'all cared about her.
Well, that's a fact, Jeff. We did. She always made her, we always made her welcome here because she was. Always. Are there others this morning? Brother Jim, let's remember him. He's still waiting. He's still waiting on some doctors of permission to go and do the surgery, so we're waiting on that. Ruth's daughter-in-law, Angie, she has cancer, and she's dealing with some... Did I get that right?
It's not cancer yet.
Oh, it's not?
It's
just tumors. I'm sorry. I thought it was cancer. Excuse me. Well, praise the Lord. I was wrong. Amen. So, okay, but she has tumors. Okay. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. And Lord, we also thank you for being the awesome God that you are. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to be able to go to you and to be able to pray to you, and knowing, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We ask you, bless us today, bless our service today. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us. But then, Lord, there's so many people hurting in the world. Lord, I want to lift up the people in Texas to you, Lord. Lost everything they have, lives, many, many lives were lost. Lord, I ask that you would be comfort to them. Give them some type of understanding. And then, Lord, help us, help all people to burden, to help out their cause. Then, Lord, we pray, Lord, for Pastor Ed as he will be with us today. Preaching, Lord, we ask that you would give him the words that we all need of. We pray for Jeff's family, Lord, and as he has lost his mother. We pray for the family, Lord, and lift them up to you. We pray for comfort for them. Lord, we know there's no other comfort like that you can give. And we ask for that for them. Pray for Brother Jim, Lord, as he continues to wait on surgery, possible surgery. Lord, I ask that you be with him, be with the surgeon, be with those that are ministering to him. We pray for that. We pray for Ruth's daughter-in-law, Lord, and we pray as she goes through tests, Lord, that all will be well. And Lord, we pray for healing for her body. Now, again, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon our service today. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us already. And these blessings I do pray in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to continue on in the book this morning as O Worship the King, as we sing for praise this morning. And indeed, it is a beautiful praise song. O Worship the King. Let's sing all four verses of O Worship the King as we stand, please. Frail children. Seated. Children, you are dismissed.
Bless you, brothers. It's hard to believe, but it was back in March when I began to look at some of the characteristics of the New Testament church. Began to ask herself, how closely does Barbage Grove align with the Christians and the church practices, the attitudes, the characteristics of the church that we read about in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts? Now, let me just be blunt. You don't seem as interested now as you did back in March. It's like people have sort of adopted, well, preacher, what is the big deal? What is the big deal? Does it really matter? Now, let me illustrate it this way. You can get up in the morning and decide you want chocolate cake. You can get up every morning for the rest of your life and decide you want chocolate cake and never have a bite of chocolate cake unless somebody goes to the store, buys the proper ingredients, mixes them up according to a good recipe, and bakes them at the right temperature at the right length of time, and then you'll have chocolate cake. All over the United States right now, this morning, there are people thinking the thought I'm going to mention. There's people getting over in the corner, one-on-one, and discussing it. Little groups in Sunday school and deacons are discussing it. And what they're discussing is this. Why are our churches not growing? And why are they dying? And can we hang on? And folks, the blunt truth is this. We're never going to have New Testament church power, New Testament church growth, New Testament church influence until the churches began to be New Testament churches with New Testament Christians, New Testament characteristics. Now, churches have tried a lot of things. Some churches have decided they're going to turn their whole service into a show. And boy, you can go get entertained, but you don't get very much Bible. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I love the praise and worship or the singing at the church I go to, but if I want to hear anything from the Bible, I got to come hear you. Well, why go to a church where you can't hear the Bible? I don't know. Some churches have gotten so liberal that the devil could be the pastor and Antichrist could lead the music. Some churches have gotten so conservative and regimented that Jesus and Paul and Peter, James, and John couldn't be members. And it all comes back to the same question. How New Testament are we? How New Testament are we? If we want New Testament results, we got to be New Testament Christians, and have New Testament characteristics. Now, some of them I think are more important than others, but all are important. Now, some of these, as we've gone through, and I think this is maybe number 17 that we're going to look at today, 16 or 17. Barbie's Grove is right on the money. We truly believe the Bible. We baptize by immersion. We have pretty good fellowship. Koinonia, caring for one another, love for one another. And there's several others where we're pretty good. And we're to be commended for that. But there's some other areas on a scale of 1 to 10, we're minus 20. We're just not close. And so we need to think about it. Now, the characteristic today is absolutely vital if you want power. And that is the power of the name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus. The New Testament Christians realized that in the name of Jesus, there was great power. Now, I could give you one of my blank checks, and you can sign it and go down to the bank, and if they're paying attention, they're not going to cash it because your name isn't on my account. But about 60 years ago, I met a little lady named Pamela Allman, and I persuaded her to become Pamela Louder, and I put her name on my check, and she could write checks on my account anytime she wanted to. And then after she passed away, I wanted to be sure that if something happened to me, my kids could have access to my money, so I put my kids' name on the checks. Whose name's on the check makes a difference. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to look at what I'm telling you is the truth. Mark chapter 16. And we'll begin at verse 15. Jesus talking, it's read in my Bible. He said to them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and it shall, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick will recover." So after that, the Lord spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and following. Jesus says, listen, I'm giving you the authority to use my name. Now over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we're going to read basically the very same ideas. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 13, John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified of the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Chapter 15 of John, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, how? In my name, he may give it to you. Chapter 16 of John. And we're going to look at verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 26. That day shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Again, every place he talks about using his name. The power of his name. It's not at Barbie's Grove, but at one of my churches, because of some previous shenanigans, we voted that there had to be two names on every church check. The treasurer, the church secretary, who worked about 20 hours a week, or the chairman of deacons. You had to have two of those three names, or the check wouldn't, the bank wouldn't cash it. Now, most years I had some great guys as chairman of deacons. A couple of years I had some not so great guys. But that church secretary and that treasurer, somebody could come in there with a gun and they wouldn't have signed a check. They had that much integrity. Well, what did Jesus just do? He signed his checkbook and gave it to you and says, my name's on it. It's up to you to add your name to it. Is that not what he did? In my name you'll ask. In my name you'll do this. In my name you'll have power. In my name. In a sense, Jesus has already signed his name to the check. He's waiting on us to sign it, co-sign it, for power to come. Now, please understand, there's some ways you can, there's only one way to spell stupid. Jesus is not telling us we can be fools. Years ago, I heard about a lady that decided that she was supposed to be married to a very prominent Christian evangelist. Problem was, he was already married to somebody else. But she claimed him in the name of Jesus. She even went so far as to have get a wedding dress, have a fake ceremony where somebody else stood in. You know, well, she was breaking adultery, covetousness, stealing. Yeah, I don't know how many of the Ten Commandments she was breaking. God not going to bless some kind of mess like that. You know, whenever Pam's name was on my check, I knew she wasn't going out and buy a $100,000 diamond ring or mink coat or something. First, there was never that much money in my account, but... She and I worked together. The treasurer and the secretary at that church worked together. So that they only approved things that were approved. So Jesus has given us the authority to use his name and to use it with power. Now, if he didn't mean it, he shouldn't have said it. But he said it. Now, let's see how they put it together in Acts 2, verse 21. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on Jesus to be saved. He said, Jesus to be saved. Verse 38 of Acts 2. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we have the baptisms. In chapter 3, You see a beautiful example of this. Starting at verse 6. You know, Peter and John, they're on the way to the temple. They found this guy that's laying there. He's helpless. Peter said, silver, verse 6, Peter and gold, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Somehow or another, as Peter and John walked by this guy, the Holy Spirit says, he's ready to be healed in the name of Jesus. And so Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, how many times Peter and John had walked by that guy before, I don't know. But that particular day, the Holy Spirit said, now's the time. You remember on another occasion in the book of Acts, it says, and I forget whether it was Peter or Paul, I think it was Peter, saw a man named Ananias. It says, and he perceived that he had the power to be healed, and he said, rise and walk. And the man did. The power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Well, going to chapter 4, verse 7 of Acts. And when they had set them in the midst, the rulers, they're not real happy that Peter used the name of Jesus to have the man healed. By what power or by what name have you done this? In verse 10, Peter's reply, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. In the name of Jesus. That was their testimony. It was Jesus when he raised him. It was Jesus in his testimony. It was by the name of Jesus. Notice Peter didn't say, hey, I am big stuff. I've got all this great power. No, Peter took no credit except using the name of Jesus. Peter wasn't getting excited about anything but how Jesus manifested himself in the life of this believer. And you know, you could go on in chapter 4, verse 30. And they're praying. Now let's go back to verse 29. But now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy service that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, they said, hey, Lord, just give us more power. Lord, help us to use the name of Jesus more. Help us to change lives more, more and more and more. And as you can just go on through the book of Acts over and over and over. Chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 9. And they go to Philippians chapter 2. We won't look at all of those books and all of those verses in Acts, but you just sit your Bible down this afternoon and go to reading and see all the different places where in the name of Jesus things happen. Oh, I love what Paul writes. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Philippians 2, beginning at verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He says, hey, confess Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things heaven, earth, under the earth, everywhere, every knee is going to bow. Now, I don't know, I get these weird pictures sometimes in my head. I can gather the whole of all of mankind and demons and angels and everybody, and somebody just says the word Jesus. All of us that are believers, the angels, we immediately fall to our feet. And there may be somebody that's saying, not me. And there may be some of the devils and demons in rebellion, not me. And there may be some good old boys on their scrolling on their and texting on their cell phones. But bang, the power of God's going to hit them and every knee shall bow. Many of us gladly, joyfully, thankfully, praising, we fall before Jesus in praise and worship. But it says every knee, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every knee shall bow. I wonder how many times throughout eternity the voice will echo across hell, Jesus! And everybody in hell will fall on their faces before Jesus. The name of Jesus is a powerful, powerful name. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? This morning when I came in the door, lights were on. I assume it's because Jeff came early and flipped the switches. Now you can get an electrician and disconnect those switches and sit here and flip them up and down all day long till your thumbs sore and nothing's going to happen. But you connect those switches to that electrical system and it's going to run out and down some lines, and at some places a power plant is producing electricity. And because that power plant is producing electricity, we've got lights. We've got heat or cool. We can go downstairs and cook. Or make some ice. All because there's a power plant and we're connected to it. Jesus is our connection to the power plant of the God of the universe. He is the one that spoke this earth into existence by his words. He is the one that is finally going to be the judge, the ultimate judge of this earth. And Jesus is our connection. Jesus says, in my name, in my name, in my name. And those New Testament Christians took him seriously. And in the name of Jesus. And you know, things have not changed in 2,000 years. Remember what those first Pharisaical boards did? Don't preach and teach and heal anymore in the name of Jesus. They didn't tell them they couldn't preach or teach. They said, just don't use the name of Jesus. And even today, Pastor, we'd like for you to give the opening invocation at our board meeting. Only you can't use Jesus. So you get up there and pray, you hear, get up and say, Almighty God, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, if you are, bless this board meeting. No, no, no. Even today they tell you, don't use the name of Jesus. The secular lost world knows the power of the name of Jesus. And we as Christians ought to use it sensibly, but authoritatively. You remember Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me. Go, and I'm going with you. Oh, but preacher, you're forgetting, that all died out. That all died out. Let me ask you a question. Is the Bible a lie? You can either believe the Bible or you can believe a lie. The Bible in Hebrews 13, let's see, let me make sure where it is. 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, is it forever yet? The Bible says what Jesus was in the past, he is now, and he always will be. Now, I didn't say that. If you want to take your Bible and cut that little verse out or take your black magic marker and mark through it, that's your prerogative. But the Bible says that Jesus is the same right now and forever will be, just as he was in the past. And in the past, when the people used his name, power came. I tend to believe the Bible. I mean, I know all the reasons and all the excuses and all the stuff that people give for the power dying out. It's just not biblical. It's just not biblical. You'll never convince me. I've seen too much of the power of God at work in lives not to believe there's still power in the name of Jesus. Still power in the name of Jesus. My wife Pamela, so many stories I could tell you about her. One of the lay witness groups that she was with, parents came in with a three-year-old and said, now, you know, it wasn't public, it was just Pamela and this set of parents, said, our house burned down and my three-year-old is traumatized. She wakes up screaming every morning about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Pam prayed for that child. Later we got a letter that said, only one more time, and it had been months, did that child ever wake up again. Power in the name of Jesus. We took a youth group to West Virginia. And there was a grandmother taking care of like a 9 or 10 year old son. The mom was in a mental institution. And the dad was in Germany with the military. And that child was manifesting demonic tendencies and talking about killing his grandma and all kind of things, day after day, hour after hour. Pamela and I prayed for that child. Later we get a letter. He's been fine ever since. There is power in the name of Jesus. Now you can say it's not so, both Bible and experience, says Jesus, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus. Jesus signed the check, gave it to you and me to use, not in foolish, stupid, sinful ways, but in ways that would honor and glorify Him. I choose to believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because this is what my Bible tells me so. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? How long will churches moan and groan? Why are we dying? Why are we growing when we refuse to be New Testament Christians? For just a moment in the quietness, would you ask yourself the question, what do I believe? What do I really, really believe about the power of the name of Jesus and all of these other characteristics? I'm not asking you to get your alignment and thoughts and convictions in line with Ed Lauder. I'm asking you to search your Bible. Read it with an open mind, an open heart. Lord, show me your truth. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Guide me into all truth as Jesus promised. And Lord, I pray for Barbie's Grove that we be a New Testament church. As we have a time of invitation, if you'll stand, will Leonard lead us in a hymn of invitation. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ, somebody that needs to come to the altar, would you come? It's a big deal. Let's make it a Bible deal. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.